Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now, for God's sake. I swear to God, I will go with
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi there, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, that there is Rex Hupke, and we're here to discuss the politics. Hey, should we talk about the fact that, what's his name, Han Asswipe Solo, or Han Asshole Solo, is the leading story in The Nation at the moment?
Yes, The Nation is a Twitter, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Starting off on a bad note there.
You missed some really good puns on the radio last night. I was in for Justin Kaufman for 4th of July, and... you know, slow holiday news time.
Sure.
Until, sadly, people start blowing things up with fireworks, which they proceeded to do.
Yeah.
But I was looking around for, like, top stories. And on one of the top stories was that on the Autobahn in Austria, or a stretch of it, of A1, a semi-truck carrying a lot of chickens on their way to a slaughterhouse fell over, and 7,500 chickens were... you know, skipping about the Austrian countryside all
nice.
Sound of Music style.
Amnesty.
Can I tell you how many chicken cross the road text messages appeared at that moment?
Wowzers. I can't even imagine.
Followed by, I talked to someone who was at the Wayne's World Guinness. Did you know about this? Guinness Book of World Records, because it's the 25th anniversary of Wayne's World, was trying to break the record for most number of people headbanging in one place. And they did it.
Oh, wow.
You only had to have 321 people to break the record, but they got like over 1,000 in Aurora.
Wow.
So I said that on the air and this woman called, and then she ended up texting later and calling back again. She was my Auroran headbanging correspondent.
Excellent. Good to be on top of that.
But there were so many text messages with some variation of party on.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
And we're not worthy and all
those
that.
Those are the good kind, though.
Yeah. Anyway. But back to the politics.
Yeah, sorry.
I derailed that with chickens.
I started off with a bad pun. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, you did. That's right.
Back to Han Asshole Solo and all that's important in the world.
I've been waiting my entire life to hear you say that.
So for those of you who perhaps do not know, Han Asshole Solo is the Reddit user who created the GIF that had... Donald Trump
CNN.
Beating up a person with CNN on their head and blah, blah, blah. So the guy that did this apologized. He issued an apology. CNN then saying that apologizing to the media.
We need to make an infographic of a timeline.
Right. It's all very messed up because he apologized to the media in general. Said he didn't mean for this to go out of control, said he's just joking, acknowledged that he had become addicted to basically posting anti-Semitic racist crap on the internet.
Which is an addiction I was not familiar
with. Right, yeah. So, I mean, it was a...
It ain't crack cocaine, my friend.
Right. There was a part of me that was like, okay, cool, because it was a very nicely worded apology, and it seemed to be relatively thoughtful. At the same time, it was weird because, well, that's an odd... Yeah,
weird is an understatement.
Right,
yeah.
He created a chart that showed all of the Jewish people that work at CNN with Stars of David on them.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't get how you claim to not be anti-Semitic or bigoted or racist or whatever.
I'm just letting you know here are the Jews, but I'm not an anti-Semitic.
Right,
what?
But you're just doing that for kicks? Like, that just that doesn't jibe with me. But regardless, whatever his intentions, he apologized. Reddit removed the apology. He put it back up. Blah, blah, blah. There was this whole back and forth because the Trump Reddit people don't want any of this nonsense of apologizing. But then a guy at CNN, by stringing together some information that he found in Googling Han Asshole Solo, was able to figure out who he was.
Right.
And,
the internets thought he was like a 15-year-old boy, which is not true. He's a grown-ass man.
Yeah, he's apparently a middle-aged guy. And so this guy at CNN contacted...
All the cool kids are middle-aged,
exactly.
For the record.
Contacted him, and apparently they talked, and then CNN wrote a story about him and about his apology and all this stuff. But CNN said, we are not identifying this guy because... And here's where they... I think
here's where it starts getting very weird.
This is where they went. This went awry. Normally speaking, the way you would normally handle that as a journalist,
yes,
or a news organization, the general rule is that if you're dealing with what we would call a civilian, which means a non-public figure,
right,
you take certain steps to protect that person because they are not necessarily operating with an expectation that anything they do or say will be written about or become part of the public, be under the public spotlight, as opposed to the mayor. If the mayor was creating racist memes, you know, we would not hold, nobody would hold back on that because you expect that person not to do that kind of crap.
You have opted into public life,
right,
at that point.
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, an argument can be made that because this guy created this meme, then the president tweeted that meme, it became part of this huge story, that he has now lost his right to anonymity. That could be argued. I personally don't necessarily agree with it. I think that what CNN did, technically speaking, was correct. They held back his name. What they did that was odd was the way they phrased their explanation.
Very odd.
Yeah, which made it sound basically like...
It sounded like a threat.
Well, I didn't think it sounded like a threat. I thought it sounded like... I think what they were... This is what I think. And look, I'm no cheerleader for CNN. I don't give a... Yeah. I don't have no horse in this race. But I feel like they... What they were trying to say was, we are not going to identify him, but we maintain the right to later identify mm-hmm. him if this news story kind of continues and if he's perhaps outed by other news organizations or something. So I felt like CNN was sort of trying to cover its ass, but it did it very clumsily because it made it sound like contingent on him no longer being a dick.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It was phrased in a way that like De Niro eyes, point at your eyeballs, point at somebody else. It was phrased like that, which I don't, I think they meant it the way you just said. But it looked like
It was very,
but we have the right to revisit this if certain conditions, like, I'm not quoting exactly, but it was very much like, I really hope this goes away.
Yeah,
it was a strangely worded.
And that's especially bad because CNN was the target of this. If it had been like, you know, CBS.
Someone totally unconnected, NPR,
whatever.
Then it
would have been a slightly different story because then you wouldn't think, well, they're basically saying, if you don't pick on us anymore, then we Okay, so, but at the end of the day, I mean, they did the right thing. They didn't ID the guy.
Did.
They kept him on. They didn't have to. They could have. I think they would have been on perfectly.
And I do think that practice is going to change. I mean, I do think there's going to be a distinction made in the near future of where we might start considering things one does online the same as opting into a public conversation.
I agree.
I think we're going to start seeing that more and more.
I'm not.
Especially when crimes are being committed under screen names and specific threats.
Right. It's complicated. But to me, the idea that you have a... Because you create an anonymous, you know, at shitlord37 or whatever account...
I thought you weren't going to tell people what my screen name was.
the idea that you have a expectation of privacy is fucking ridiculous. I mean, that's really absurd for anybody to think that. Nobody...
Right.
Has an expectation. You have a right to say whatever the hell you want. You do not have a right to privacy. I mean, period. You don't. So I'm not in favor of just, you know, see, and people.
Wait, say more about what you mean about you don't have a right to privacy. Under any circumstances, I'm going to turn off the ringer of my phone.
If you are going online.
Under this setting. Okay.
Right.
All right.
And writing stuff. I don't care if it's about ponies or it could be perfectly tame, but I don't think that anybody has an expectation of privacy when they are posting stuff they have written on the internet. I don't
think their identity or any kind of privacy.
Of their identity, right. No, and not of their bank account number or something like that.
Yeah, okay, that's where I was
going. Right, okay,
this.
Right. Which is the problem with this is that it got conflated with doxing.
Right.
So, like,
that's
people
exactly
said
where
that
I'm
CNN
going.
Was threatening to dox him. No,
correct.
They were not. They were threatening to identify him.
Right, which is very different.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Right, totally different. So, people's private information. Yeah, legally, I mean, that's just, you know, that's...
But I have seen a circumstance under which revealing somebody's name was doxing, in a sense, in a way. It wasn't a news organization identifying them. It was a person identifying someone's name specifically for the hope of exposing them to danger. And in my mind, that falls under doxing. I guess not technically, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think doxing is it's documents. It's like, you know, it's personal, you know, information.
So I guess intent then plays a role in doxing.
Well, yeah, but also literally what it is, what information you're putting out. I mean, I don't see a name as doxing. I see, you know, public record, dumping public somebody's
for
public record.
For sure. No
you
question.
Know, dumping your, you know, phone number, address, your bank account, whatever. I mean, people have done.
In my case, it was home address, work address, which whatever, anyone can figure out where this is. My general schedule of when I come and go from this building, an inaccurate phone number, but a former one, and something else. Oh, my parents' address.
Yeah. Which, yeah, that to me is.
For sure.
Yeah. Good and then there's a, you know, I mean, if we can't understand these, I mean, I don't know. And this comes, I mean, the first thing I thought about when this started happening was your fight for media literacy, which this is, I mean, just
a big one. Yeah.
A huge example of, because people, nobody understands how journalists work.
Right.
Again, CNN should have done a better job in how they phrased that.
They
should have. That was odd.
And, I also
and
think.
I don't defend that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't blackmail.
No,
you know, like.
But I understand why people who don't know a newsroom, who haven't worked in journalism, I understand why they took it as a threat, because it was worded like one, but I understand what they meant.
Yeah.
I just think they worded it shittily. I also think if I was like a public editor type of role at CNN, I think it would have been very appropriate to add a link or append something to the bottom of that story to explain that.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't do that.
I know.
I mean, they put out a statement today, but they
should have done it at the same time.
It should have been instant. Like, just like, whoa, no, this is not what that means. This is how, like,
I think even before that.
It would have taken 10 minutes to do that.
Given the stakes and given the unusual circumstances, I think at the bottom of it, in italics, it should, or at the top or whatever, it should have said, like, you know, we're going to take a moment and explain to you, gentle reader, why in this case, we did not name this person, and why we have said this in this way. I mean, I think I would have wanted that to go out with the story if I was the editor for that.
But look at the like danger that I mean, it's fascinating and terrifying over such a short period of time how the crazy non-authoritative news sources have
gone
exploded.
Bananas.
Exploded because you had. There was people on in kind of the alt-right areas were started saying that Han Asshole Solo was a. By the way, the best tweet was from Megan Amram, who's a does a lot of TV writing and stuff like that. She's hilarious, and she wrote, "I can't wait to see who plays young Han Asshole Solo in the movie."
That's excellent. I also sidebar to that is I've enjoyed this year. I think more conversations have taken place in newsrooms of what you can and cannot say on the air or print, because I mean, let us rewind to January, in which every newsroom was having a conversation about whether or not you could say pussy hat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah,
right. And now we're like, how do we report this man's name?
Oh, no. Is that Mr. Asshole Solo or is it hyphenated?
Is it Mr. Solo?
Is asshole the middle name?
Right. But it is an important detail of the story.
It is.
You are reporting the story. What do you call him if you can't say? We certainly can't say it on the air.
Sure, because that's the I mean, part of the absurdity of the fact that we're in this rabbit hole.
Is that
his name is Han Asshole Solo? It's like, what the hell are we doing? How did this become a national conversation? But the
it's asshole, sir. Major asshole. What's that? Spaceballs?
Yes. But the oh shit! Now I forgot where I was going with that.
No, I derailed it with major asshole.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Oh man, I have no idea where I was.
Well,
going.
There's a lot.
But it's. I mean, it's just so weird, and I don't.
Yeah. And
oh, no, it was the explosion of unreliable news.
Yeah.
So what happened is that people started saying that Han Asshole Solo was a 15-year-old boy.
Correct, which he is not.
Which is totally false, and there's nothing to base that on. And then the president of the United States' son, Donald Jr., tweets something about, now they're picking on a 15-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. It's like, shut the hell up. I mean, come on.
Don't talk.
This is ridiculous, people. Yeah. I mean, we can't live in a world where, you know, just random idiots who aren't journalists, who aren't anything, can propagate this sort of stuff, and then it gets, you know, sent out by people in positions of serious power.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. So, you know, now, I mean, a massive swath of humanity thinks CNN blackmailed a 15-year-old boy.
Right.
And they're never going to go past that.
No.
So it's, Jesus.
Welcome to the Media Literacy Outrage Club.
Yeah.
We've been expecting you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely I mean, CNN, I think that was a good story to go after. I think it made perfect sense that you would look into that person.
Totally. Absolutely.
And good job finding out who it is. Good job also not outing the person. I thought that was the right thing to do. But yeah, the language in that was completely screwy, and I don't get it.
Right.
But the outrage is not commensurate with what
was
it at issue there. So.
And I'd also like to point out that the Reddit user, Han Assel Solo, has been more apologetic than the President of the United States over the whole kerfuffle.
By a lot. And again, worth noting here, if we had even a remotely, marginally responsible president, he or she right now would be saying, okay, everybody, we got to pull this together.
Reel it in, please.
It matters to the country that we can actually share and agree on information, and this has to stop.
Yeah.
And I take part of the responsibility, and I apologize, but here we go. Never in a million years do that, but that's what needs to happen right now.
Well,
somebody needs to grab this by the reins a little bit.
Well, a marginally reasonable president wouldn't have tweeted that bullshit in the first place. I mean, that alone was what I was thinking about when that first happened. When he sent that tweet, I was like, oh, Hupke and I are going to have a field day with this. The president has just tweeted a gif of a fucking wrestling match.
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous. And where I went with that first, which is a lost beat now that we'll revisit at some later point when the dumpster fire's a little more under control, is that no matter how severe the threats against journalists got, that to me was a different level, because that's showing someone physically assaulting CNN or a representative of CNN. So to me, that was like, here's why. Not because I believe the president was necessarily calling for wrestling a CNN reporter to the ground, per se. But I do think that there are extremists who would see that and go, that's my guy. He's telling me I got to go. Yeah, like the same person who wore a shirt to a polling place that said journalist rope tree.
Right.
Someone who doesn't believe that you and I are worth the oxygen we're breathing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was what I thought we were going to talk about today when I first saw that tweeted. And that's just like that's five levels down now at this point.
Yeah,
there's
totally.
Just all these new levels.
You know, the thing that got me the most about this and what I think is the most sort of, it's some combination of sad and tragic and pathetic, but is that according,
my favorite.
According to the statement from this guy, Han Assel Solo, and again, I think you take every statement from Han Assel Solo with a substantial grain of salt. I wish I could
Assel
think of
Solo salt.
I wish I could have thought of some like Star Wars related mineral, but anyway. his claim is just that he thought it was fun. What he was doing.
I don't know why.
And he thought, and he got off on it, and he got kind of addicted to it. And there is some kind of a brain wiring, I think, that risky behavior basically can get. And so it does make you wonder how many people out there
are addicted to being a fucking dick.
This is not excusing any of them, but I'm just saying I guess what I'm saying is that I would almost rather Han Assel Solo just be a crazy nutter who hates people than be just a guy who thinks hating people is fun or thinks pretending to hate people is fun. Like, that's scarier to me for some reason. Like, it's almost less scary when somebody actually is like just an ideological nut.
Yeah.
But the fact that there are people out there who are just kind of. And I've seen I got a couple friends who slipped into this, I think. Not this level, not like crazy, you know, that completely crazy, but who kind of slipped into this sort of Trumpian shit and behavior. And it struck me because I know these people and I feel like I know who they are. It struck me that it was sort of like almost like a club, you know, it reinforces itself. And you get in there and, you know, you get become kind of part of this sort of hyper masculine nonsense, and it becomes alluring somehow, probably filling in some part of your life where you aren't getting that kind of recognition or satisfaction or jolt of dopamine or whatever it is that it causes but it's messed up though, because I don't think when you think about the amplification of hatred online, mm-hmm. you know, how loud it seems versus what I think it actually is in, mm-hmm. in reality. And what we see, I mean, for all of the threats against journalists and all of the just awfulness, for example, there's not been, you know, much of anything that, knock on wood, that's actually happened. Thank God. And I hope it never does. But I think that there's, I think it's a lot of talk that doesn't translate to action. And I think that if these people really were that hateful and really were that, were everything that they talk like, mm-hmm. there would be more horrible things happening. And I, again, that's not, that doesn't excuse it. It just, I feel like there's this kind of, it's almost like a really perverted playground, you know, like a really weird thing that's happening, and that the noise from that is being amplified through the internet, and it's scaring the bejesus out of everybody with good reason. But you know, I don't know. It just, that just really hit me, though, the fact that the guy was, if you read his full thing that he posted, again, who knows? He could be full of shit. It could have been lawyered. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure
if you give it, you give it the benefit of the doubt to some degree, and you assume that it's at least semi-sincere, it's really fascinating because mm-hmm. he seems to not have any clue, or not, he did not have any clue how much he was hurting people and how horrible this was. And it's like somebody splashed him with water all of a sudden. Yeah. He was like, holy crap. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope we get a lot of water splashing.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that's come up, right? Lindy West, a lot of people have written about her.
Sure, yeah.
She was the woman that confronted her troll who was impersonating her deceased father. And, like, shortly after the man's death, and, you know, while she was trying to grieve. So she confronted him, and that's kind of the story arc there, too, that he really had no idea. He just thought he was fucking around.
Yeah. Well, and I've had that happen on less, nothing on that level, but I've had many times when somebody has emailed and sent me just awful emails.
Right.
And I've responded.
This,
yeah. And I've said, like, hey, look, do you normally talk to human beings like that? Like, is that the way you would want your children to talk to somebody, or somebody to talk to your child? I was like, I'm fine that we disagree, and I'm happy to talk to you about anything you want. But if you think you're going to get a straight answer from me with that kind of bullshit, then you're wrong.
Yeah.
And 90% of the time, they've responded and been like, oh, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
And they've apologized. So, yeah, I just feel like we've created, the internet, the availability of the megaphones that we have now have kind of created this scenario where people just lose their damn minds, you know? And I'm not defending it again because it's not defensible. I don't care. You know, you're responsible for your words, your actions, everything. I mean, Han Asshole Solo, I appreciate your apology, but you're a jackass for the things you have done, and it's horrible and hurtful, and there's no really apology that covers that, I don't think, but nonetheless, it's weird times.
Yeah, it is weird times. It's completely unprecedented time and place, and it's such a weird one, and I keep trying to draw parallels to other times, you know, when people say, oh, well, I was, you know, under the influence when I was doing all that trolling, or I was addicted to this outrage or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But if you're, you know, I'm trying to draw the parallel of like, well, but if you were an alcoholic and you got behind the wheel of a car and did something, you're still going to be responsible for that. Or if you, you know, got all, like if you were like super high on the bath salts and went and assaulted somebody, you're still going to be held criminally liable for that. So I think there's, it goes to the thing we always say about you have the right to say anything you damn well want, but with right comes responsibility, and that's where it keeps falling down, and that's where I think the conflict starts with anonymity online, because I do think you have the right to be as private as you want online, but I also think the downside of that, I've mentioned this before, but one of my very favorite op-eds in the entire world, it was in the New York Times, written by a woman who, she was Facebook's first intern, and I think she's like VP of product or something there now. Her name is Julie Zhao, I think I'm pronouncing it right. It's called Where Anonymity Breeds Contempt. It's a few years old, but it's still a perfect op-ed, and it still holds so well because she even uses mythology to weave in a bit of kind of looking at the psyche. And she's talking about why Facebook why you have to stand behind what you say on Facebook, and why, like, Facebook comments on a website do require you to log in with your Facebook account so that you have to stand behind what you're saying with your identity. I mean, she's not allowing for people making a fake Facebook.
I was going to say, yeah, that's pretty
which plenty of people do. Yeah. But nonetheless, I think she makes some really good points about psyche and out of characterness and things that you do under. I would liken it to the psychological condition of being like in a crowd when something goes really haywire, how this, like, you might do something you would not do independently if you are part of a crowd that is suddenly fighting under duress or something. But we have to figure it out. I mean, we have to get a handle on it, because it's really getting quite disgusting. And I'm very tired of, if you are tired of it, get off Twitter. Ugh, because go fuck yourself. I have the right to a reasonable expectation of safety using any social media platform that I want. And I'm sick of hearing, especially women, like, well, if you can't hang with, you know, people saying disgusting things to you, then just get off Twitter. No. It's this, like, make it a bus. If you can't hang with that man, like, trying to touch your boobs on the bus, then get off the bus. No, let us punish the man trying to grope.
Right.
And it's the same like awful rape culture-y thing that is in social media. And I think too that, I mean, there's a lot of components. I do think there is a legislative component. I do think of responsibility, that if you make a threat, if you walked up to me on the sidewalk and said, I'm going to kill you, there's liability on you for that. Mm-hmm. But if you said that to me online, I have to considerable expense. I have to track you down, figure out who you are, and, you know,
it's
a whole different. And then what jurisdiction does it fall under if you're in a different state or another country, and it gets lost. So I think there is some legislative stuff. I think Europe is going to lead the way because they've been taking internet privacy very seriously, very seriously.
Yeah.
But I also think there's a big part of the tech companies that we haven't been talking about enough. And so I've been watching all of this fallout right now about female venture capitalists and female startups with this in mind, with this very thing, with political discourse online in mind, because if your workforce and your leadership is representing one kind of person, usually a youngish white man, then it's, even with very good intentions, it perhaps could be a little bit difficult to understand the full experience of all your users.
Yeah, for sure.
And with this we've been saying this for years, and it's just taken this to come out in Silicon Valley with this awful, you know, disgusting, toxic rape culture that's happened, that's just come out recently in Silicon Valley, in which women were treated like objects, in which good ideas were, I'll fund you if you have sex with me. Like, that's disgusting and insulting and horrible. I do think that has an implication in political discourse, because, I mean, we're using those people's platforms to have these conversations. And I don't think, not that I think those people are policing or screening, but it's the setup, it's the entire culture, it's all of it that bleeds out. And that's a really long rant, but I think it is all super connected. And it's, I think the way we talk about unfortunate interactions online is very much the way we talk to women who have been victimized in some way. Men or women.
Suck it up.
Men or women victimized online. It's always like, don't feed the trolls. Get off of Twitter if you can't stand it. Suck it up. Well, you put yourself in public. That's what you get. And I don't agree. You should be held accountable for your actions. You can disagree with me all day. You can think I suck at my job. I think almost every single day somebody tweets something like that to me to tell me that I'm terrible at what I do.
Oh, me too.
Sure. You too, right? We hear that every single day. And that's fine. You have the right to think I suck at my job. That's totally fine. But it, where it gets threatening, where it gets, I mean, I still hold on to the day I tweeted the fucking story about the Trump kids going to shoot prairie dogs in Montana. The insane, mean, in one instance, quite dangerous and threatening things that were said to me over that. To me, that does support what you're saying, that maybe there is some kind of, you know, weird, I don't want to say addiction, but
just getting off on it.
Yeah, some kind of weird power for. But then that supports that, like, often false narrative of like some loser in his mom's basement in his underwear, you know, because that's what we say, like, oh, that's just some dumb guy and, you know, in his mom's basement. Well, but that dumb guy said he was going to slit my throat, so I need to pay attention to him.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that, you know, there's a lot wrong, and I could rant about this shit all day, but.
Well, I think the, and I, when I had the workplace column up until recently, I talked about this several times, and I believe it very much, is that I feel like not just the tech companies, I think all companies need to take this seriously and promote good online behavior, and more importantly, make it really damn clear that, you know, we're not going to police. They can't police people. I mean, they can't go, you know, we're not going to police you. But if we find out that you're doing this, you're gone. Period.
Yeah.
Because
to me,
until this becomes socially unacceptable and until there are consequences, it won't stop. I mean, there's no way you can do whatever you want, but it's still going to keep going until people start getting fired for it, frankly.
Yeah.
And and people get mad at me when I say that. They're
no,
like,
you're exactly right.
But I think, too bad, man. You get online and threaten somebody or start posting anti-Semitic crap or whatever, boom,
look,
you're gone.
I've said this from the beginning. Like, when I was working in social media at the Tribune, I said this all the time, that you may be off work at 6 p.m., but at the end of the day, any hour of the day, if you and I go across the street and get into a huge bar fight at the Billy Goat, it's not going to be two random people off the clock got into a bar fight. It's going to be two local journalists instigated a huge bar fight at this bar.
And that's happened many times. We've done that. But
repeatedly. What do we have to do to get some coverage for this podcast, for crying out loud? We're trying to get some press here.
Goose and I have been in so many drunken brawls with people.
Dude, we would so win. It'd be good. Mostly because of me.
But the, I totally agree with that. But the, I mean.
Right. Like if it was like a CEO, or even not a CEO, it was like, you know, director of marketing or whatever the fuck, somebody at some company posts some anti-Semitic crap, to me, that's still noteworthy.
Yeah.
Like leadership of this, whatever, insurance company in the burbs or whatever the hell has, you know, has an anti-Semite there who's posting dangerous, gross stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
You're out.
Yeah. No, and I've gone, I mean, I've gone after people who have.
Same.
I had a cop one time send me this really shitty email. And it had his village. It was the village. It was his village email.
Jesus Christ!
And I responded, and I googled the name, and it was. And I go, I wrote back, and I'm like, "Is this officer?" Blah blah blah. And he's like, "Yeah." I was like, and it basically was like, I said, "What the hell do you think you're doing?
What's the matter with you?"
I was
you?
Like, "You're on. You sent me this email on what I assume is village time from a village email account. I'm a journalist. What the heck do you think I'm going to do with that?"
Right.
And I just said, "I'm not going to do anything." But
you should know
better than to do this. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be doing this anyway. And I said, I would expect somebody in your position to be setting a better example. You know, I got really righteous.
Yeah, good. Good for you.
And he just wrote back like, meh, 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 meh. But just pissed. But again, if he got fired, he wouldn't be going, meh, meh, meh. And I mean, you know, then maybe he would know next time around not to do that crap.
Yeah.
So that's why people get so mad at me. I've gotten such backlash from that. They're like, well, it's my First Amendment right. I'm like, bullshit. You have a right to say what you want. You do not have a
right. But if you said
it,
your Cuban said that, you could get fired the same.
But you do not have a right to say whatever you want and still be employed by your employer if they decide that that doesn't fit their you know, morality, whatever, you know, clause and that sort of thing. So it's just, but anyway, I could not strongly enough encourage companies need to not just have some dumb policy tucked away in their, you know, handbook. They need to say often and loudly, we will not tolerate this.
Explicitly.
You will be terminated, period. There is no second chance. There's nothing. Okay, so don't do this. Because just putting the fear of God in people like that would probably cut down on a sizable percentage of this crap anyway.
I think some people like wouldn't even connect the dots until you explicitly say it to them.
Right.
And I don't think it should be. It's often like an extra paragraph in employee handbooks, like social media. No, it needs to be a sentence in almost all the policies. Like, most places have a harassment policy that should include online.
Yeah.
Because if you walk up to your coworker's desk and say something about their body, that could be construed as harassment pretty easily. But if you tweet it, like there's gray area legally, and that's nonsense.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have to see a couple of really contentious lawsuits that go up to high levels to start setting that. I mean, with anything, right? With any culture change we've ever seen, we've seen some major court cases to turn the tide there.
Yeah, but I want like a damn poster when you walk in the door that's staring you in the face. It says, hey, you know, do this and you're out the door.
You'd think that's obvious. Like,
yeah, I don't know why it doesn't happen more.
If you're a raging anti-Semite and you tweet that and you're a leader of a company,
yeah,
that might fuck you up.
Yeah.
I'm right. Just letting you know.
People just don't get it. I mean, people are, it's the same thing. And I'm sure you've seen this too. Like when you respond to people and you make it clear to them that you now know who they are,
mm-hmm.
they're like taken aback. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That took me
4 seconds.
4 seconds to figure out
who
the hell you are, moron. I mean, it's like yeah. people, I don't, that's the other thing too, is with all of the like, you know, government surveillance, blah, blah, like everybody, you know, all this talk of like, you know, wiretap, and people think that they have any anonymity in the first place. It's preposterous. I'm like, I can find just about anybody very quickly and yeah. have done that yeah. many times. And that doesn't mean I'm outing them. It certainly doesn't mean I'm doxing
anybody.
I just
want to know who I'm dealing with.
Right. It's that I find out who the hell I'm dealing with. And then if I feel like I yeah. need to respond to them, then I respond. Then I'm like, hey, let's take it easy here. You know what?
Right. I mean, if you send me a tweet that says, I hope, which has happened to me, I hope someone goes to your address and sexually assaults you. Like, I'm going to look up who you are.
Sure.
I just want to know who I'm dealing with. Because if you're like sexual predator, I'm probably going to do something about that.
Yeah.
As opposed to if you're just like some, you know, if you're a kid, I'm probably going to tell your mom.
Right. And it's not like this is some kind of media witchcraft that we're doing. I mean,
no.
This is something anybody can do.
Anybody can do.
I mean, the stuff that CNN did to find that guy was just normal routine stuff.
Very easy.
So, I mean,
probably
you know.
Not even a paid service.
Yeah.
It's
right.
quite easy
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
So. I have sent a tweet like and tagged an employer before.
Yeah.
Like responded. Like I screen grabbed the tweet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Attached it as a photo, replied to the person, basically, wrote. At reply to them and their company, and I was like, you know, what I don't remember the name of the company, but you know, thought you might want to know your employee so and so.
Good.
This is what they're sending, and it was yeah. like, I think he was like a VP of something, like a leadership role, yeah. and I was like, this is what's acceptable to say to me, and it was very disgusting and yeah. like very very gross and rapey, and I was like, that's what we're doing. All right, bye, we're done.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that people. I mean, I feel like the Chicago Tribune, for example, and I've talked to some people before about this, not in any official capacity or great detail or anything, but I think that, you know, you want comments on stories, it has to be somebody's name. It can't be anonymous.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think that there should be a place where we just, reporter, columnist, whoever, you just send all the crappy emails you get, and they get posted. So anybody who wants to go can read email. Everything, you know. Just
I love that.
You know, here it is. It does, and that you're
it
not
just
out,
be like a Tumblr blog,
right? Yeah, just a here's yeah. all the crap that we get, because you know people write. You know, I love the little like the paragraph at the end of a email that's like, this is private and cannot be. I'm like, you know what? You know that has about as much legal bearing as you know
as retweets are not endorsements.
Yeah, right. I was like, come on, you got to be kidding me.
Which is that irritates me to death when I see that. Like, well, right. if you retweet someone without comment, it in fact is an endorsement.
Yeah, right. It seems exactly like an endorsement.
And if it's not, you make sure to say so.
Yeah.
Because if it's right. not, you add a comment, you quote tweet it, and you say, look what this jackass just said, or
sure.
whatever.
Yeah.
In fact, they are, and nothing about that is legally binding, and it's so irritating to me yeah. when companies are like, oh, my company makes me say that. Well, your company is fucking stupid then,
because yeah, exactly.
there's nothing, there's no reason to do that.
Right, yeah.
Oh, people, I swear to God. I like that idea, though, of just like today and horrible journalism comments.
Yeah, just filter, put it all in. Nobody, I don't give a crap if we're giving out their email address. I mean, whatever.
I don't either.
Just throw it all out there.
You know what?
If somebody knows somebody, well, too bad. You should have known
too
better.
Too bad. You shouldn't have
it.
Sent that bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
I had something said to me one time that I thought was very powerful, and it was, it wasn't because I had done anything. It was an offhanded comment that I thought was very powerful, and I've said it to everyone I've ever hired, and that is, assume every email is going to get leaked.
Mm-hmm.
Assume and assume that even the most complicated and sensitive email you could ever send at any point could be implicated in something, even that has nothing to do with you, but assume that it could, and you might be in a position to explain the entire backstory of every single word on that email.
Yeah.
And behave accordingly. And that is so much more effective. If you got something shitty to say, like, pick up the fucking phone.
Yeah.
I'd rather someone say, Amy Guth, you are an idiot, than send me a long, insane email in all caps.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and if you're living in the year 2017 and you don't just assume that every single thing you are transmitting anywhere electronically is not, you know,
highly trackable.
Right, either trackable or being looked at or hacked or, you know, being put. I mean, you know, you just, I just assume. I mean,
totally.
If you wanted to, if you want to have a conversation with somebody, then you don't want anybody to know anything about it. You damn well better go stand in the middle of a field and whisper with your hands over your mouth.
I would say, like in mob movies where they cover their mouths so the surveillance cops can't see them. Better do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not paranoid. And I don't have anything to, you know, my, and I don't.
But you know how the digital world works,
right? And honestly, I don't give a shit. I mean, I have nothing. Like,
right.
I don't
have any dirt.
Right. I have. So I mean, and I'm sure people could find emails that I've sent that they could.
I mean, I got that one picture of you with that lampshade, but that's a whole other thing.
What are you gonna do?
All I can say is that's a really weird place for a tattoo.
Yeah. Thank you. But you know, there's just not. Like, if you're not doing anything wrong, then why the fuck do you care? I mean, it's not, you know, and you know, I don't, it's not, I don't know, it's just weird. But I just, I mean, I think everybody needs to operate as though there is no privacy, basically. And if you don't like that, well, damn, too bad. I mean, I think I'm overblowing it. I don't think there's as much to worry about as I think there is.
But I think I have found the people that tend to be the most hostile about this kind of shit are some of the fucking meanest. I mean, the absolute meanest that are like, I have the right to send that to you in confidence. I'm like, well, you threatened my life or family or what, or you wished that I got raped. So I don't respect your wishes.
Yeah. Well, and look,
I'm sorry that you got your AOL email address leaked.
Look at the reaction to this CNN thing. I mean, the people are freaking out about that because it's a chink in, you know, it shows a chink in the armor. I mean, they're like, oh, God, wait, they can find him.
Wait, they're going to find that anti-Semitic thing that I made and tweeted all over the place? Like, yes, there are consequences for the shit you do.
Right.
How many times do we have to say that? I don't understand why that's so...
Why it's
hard to understand and why you would... I don't understand the psychology of wanting to get away with something like that. Because to me, if I hate you, I will say so.
Right.
I'm going to come out and be like, Rex Hupke... That is some fucked up shit that you just said, and I'm super mad at you.
Yeah. In which case, okay. I mean, say it. Look, I mean, again, it's a perverse sort of thing, but I would almost have more respect for a hateful bigot who just is a hateful bigot.
And uses their own name and just
and
says,
than I would for some idiot who's like,
absolutely,
got a fake name and is just playing around. I'm like, what kind of weirdo playing around is this? At least this idiot over here believes the crap he's spewing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you're just hurting people for kicks?
Fun? Yeah, I don't get it. So, I don't understand. But I also don't understand the psychology of hating an entire group of people.
No, I don't either. But that's a whole, I mean.
So we're not, you know.
I pointed out on Twitter earlier today when all this started happening, I said people who think they're part of a master race sure do get squeamish about anyone finding out who they are.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great
point. You know,
point.
I'm like, wait, you're the... But then how do you...
That's a great point.
Yeah.
We're out of
time
already. But I leave you with a Google homework assignment.
Ooh.
And if you have not read about this totally batshit insane thing called the White Baby Challenge, go Google that, and cray. Basically, like, this woman... is a white supremacy blogger and she's like, I made six. How many can you make? # white baby challenge. And I'm like, you are out of your mind. You are out of your mind. I saw people tweeting that with complete disbelief of this. And it's like, it's sad because she's like such a pleasant looking person. You know, she's all smiley in this picture and she just looks so like girl next door. And you're like, you are a hate filled psychopath.
Yeah.
And you are spreading racist, white supremacy rhetoric, and that kind of shit makes me just go like, you cannot trust anybody in this world. Because like, even like she looks so pleasant, like she's just gonna show up with a plate of cookies, and meanwhile she's like, death to the Jews.
A plate of cookies, but for whites only.
Right. She like, I am scared of it, but yet I'd rather know who you are than have it be hiding and for me to accidentally like ID myself as a Jew and then just get blown up later or something.
Yeah, it's twisted. But I mean, I don't know where we are, but we're in
a
bad place.
Conversations we're having in 2017.
Yeah, you do. Today we've used the term Han Asshole Solo a lot. White supremacist blogger, which is just a bizarre, that sounds like a death metal band name or something.
And on the way here, on the bus, there were two people in wheelchairs, and there was a man that got super mad and yelled something on the bus because it takes longer to get a wheelchair off of a bus than it takes to just step off a bus with your feet.
There you go.
And I was like,
quit rubbing your disability in my face.
Like, 2017, ladies and gentlemen, yes. 2017. Mm. Like, that's where we're at. So anyway.
I'm sure next week we'll have lots of super positive stuff to talk about. So
yeah, we're going to talk about some Care Bears and some, I don't know, like...
farting unicorns or something?
Sure. I'm down with that. Whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes. Because we went into the deep end this time. But nonetheless, this has been Guth and Hupke on Politics, and we shall see you next time.